Good morning, listeners, and Radio Tamboring is bringing to you a live update on the project that has everybody talking. I have with me Neela Bob Prescott, and she's going to tell us on the progress the group has made in terms of the model of Tobago that's going to be instrumental in terms of policy as it relates to climate change. So first of all, let me welcome Neela, and she has three guests. Good morning, Neela.
Hi. Good morning, Tobago. Lovely to be here. Lovely to see Tobago in a very beautiful display today to tell you that the model is near finalization. We had 106 people come out to take part in the building of the model and various stakeholders. This morning, my colleague and I from the CTA visited the chief secretary who described the process as very intriguing, and he's very interested to see the final product. And we also visited the Secretary for Environment again, and he is excited to see the final model, to see what we have worked on. So we had 106 people turn out from Tobago. We had a wonderful investment from people from the Caribbean. 22 trainees came in and really put in their sweat and their blood to make it happen today. And of course, we have our funder, CTA, who has given us not only funding but technical advice to bring us thus far.
Now, I know you said 106 people took part and 22 trainees. And the important aspect about this entire project is having the people who are within the communities on the ground, so to speak, participating. So of this 106, tell us a little bit about the kind of participation.
Well, we invited people to come in to assist us with putting in resources or assets that are important to them in earning a livelihood in Tobago. So we had farmers come in, cocoa farmers, people who rear animals, people who do bees came in and visited. We had a lot of fisher folk come in from Delaford, from Speyside. We had reef tour operators come in from lowlands areas. And we had fisher folk also from lowlands. We had tour guides come in. We had people from the Scout Association come in. So it's a broad cross-section of people who believe that they depend on the natural resources or on the resources of Tobago for their livelihood.
And I believe we have two of those persons here in terms of the 22 trainees, if I'm not mistaken. We have Kemba Jaramogi, right? And she's representing Fonde Samans, correct? All right. And it's Fonde Samans, a community reforestation project based in Trinidad. And with us as well, we have Anthony Moore, and he's from Barbados. He's representing the Caribbean Institute of Meteorology and Hydrology. So let's start with Kemba, ladies first, Anthony. And Kemba being one of the participants, one of the trainees, rather, tell us what your participation was like, because we want to really understand how this project is going to impact how we move forward. All right.
Hi, good morning, everyone. As a participant, as a trainee, some of the things we got to engage with is how to facilitate. So at the end of the process, we should be able to go back to our respective organizations and with assistance as well to replicate this process. So it was very, very insightful to also hear from Ken and Kale, who are visiting here as a technological assistant for the process, and really see how it's done in other places and go through the process hands-on in Tobago. So that was very, very insightful.
And Anthony, who is from Barbados, I know that his office is actually based in Trinidad, as he was explaining, but the Caribbean Institute of Meteorology and Hydrology, the Barbados branch of it, how does that tie into what the project is supposed to establish, which is this connection between the community and policymakers as it pertains to climate change?
Thank you. Good morning, everyone. Well, being a representative of the Caribbean Meteorological and Caribbean Institute for Meteorology and Hydrology, we do a lot of training and research. And one of our main areas of research is climate change. We already work on what is called a drought monitor for the Eastern Caribbean. And it's always useful in doing these predictions to get the input of those persons that are on the ground. And this model sort of highlights the importance of the input of the persons that are on the ground. And it was amazing to see that Tobagonians can come and they can pinpoint areas on this map that I don't think as a Barbadian I'll be able to pinpoint some of the places on the map of Barbados. So it's amazing to see that they are well abreast of what's happening in their community. And I think that this model will be a useful model for policymakers to monitor the progress of climate change as it relates to Tobago. I've seen persons highlight where the river once used to flow, but it no longer flows there anymore. So policymakers have an idea of what's happening in the environment.
Now, we have Anthony from Barbados, and last week we had Martin, if I'm not mistaken, from St. Vincent. We have Kemba from Trinidad. And, you know, just to identify that this project is not only about Tobago, but about how it's going to impact the Caribbean, because we're small island developing states and we share more or less the space. And on that note, I want to bring in Giacomo Rambaldi. And, you know, there's a saying, saving the best for last. So in terms of the four persons we have here, I'm going to bring him in now because he's from the Center for Technical Agriculture and Rural Cooperation. And they are funding this project. And just considering the extent and reach, because even right here in Tobago, where we have St. Vincent and the Grenadines, we have Barbados, and of course we have Trinidad, because it's Trinidad and Tobago. Just give us an idea of what is the importance of funding projects like this one.
For me to speak on this program, CTA works in ACP countries, in Sub-Saharan Africa, the Pacific and the Caribbean. And the project I'm handling is a project which covers both the Caribbean and the Pacific. Actually, in May, we had a workshop in Solomon Island, and Nila was there with us. And we had this exchange of islanders from the Pacific and the Caribbean. And also, one of the trainers who is here and he's facilitating the process is coming from Papua New Guinea. So we build a lot on this kind of exchanges between people sharing common impacts of climate change. Now, this project here in Tobago is a pilot for the Caribbean. We introduced this process of participatory mapping in the Pacific in 2005, and it's taken up now. It's used increasingly in the context of climate change adaptation. We introduced that in Africa in 2006, and it's used for a range of purposes, including climate change adaptation, but also a lot on land tenure, spatial planning. But fundamentally, the core of the process is to give a voice to the grassroots, to let them express their concerns, their aspirations vis-à-vis the development of their landscape, being it physical, biological, or cultural landscapes. And the process is not only about map making. It's a learning process. Everybody learns. Even the residents here are learning about names of places they didn't hear about before. The elders are transferring information to the youth, and so there is this intergenerational exchange of information, which is so important. But I think that above all, it's the ownership. The process is owned by the community. The output is owned by the community, and all that stimulates a sort of responsibility. People are getting more responsible about their own environment. It's a sort of appropriation of the whole environment, of the whole landscape. And this is the foundation upon which participatory development is founded on.
So we're clearly talking about all hands on deck. We're talking about people participating in a process that is going to lead to how decision makers go about creating policy. It's interesting, though, that you mentioned the Caribbean and Sub-Saharan Africa. Is there something about these regions that require this kind of project? Are there indicators that say, okay, this is the kind of direction we need to go if we need to get people on board?
I think you hit the nail on the top. I mean, in many of these countries, the public opinion doesn't have a very strong voice. And Usually there is a huge divide between those who have a PhD, who went to university, and the grassroots. And the tendency is for the government officers, for people who are educated and so on, to dismiss local knowledge as non-relevant, non-accurate, and so on. And as our colleague from the Meteorological Association Research Institution said, he made a comment and he said, this knowledge is valuable, this knowledge is striking, okay? And this is what we want to do. We want to let decision maker know that local knowledge, traditional knowledge, is valuable, authoritative, and precise. It's just a matter to be able to collate this knowledge which is scattered in the mind of many individuals. And these individuals usually don't consider their knowledge as valuable. But putting it into a context where people understand that their own individual knowledge is of value for them and for their community makes them proud of knowing. And then make them much more articulated in expressing what their concerns, needs, aspirations are.
Now, going back to Nila, before I get to Kemba and Anthony once again, Nila, we're talking about the voice of the people here. So tell us, what's the next step? Because, yes, the model is ready I understand tomorrow is the handing over, so it's going to the Department of Natural Resources and the Environment. But what's the next step? Because we don't want the voice of the people to die at the end of assembling the actual model. So what's the next step?
Well, the immediate next step is that we just spoke with the Chief Secretary and the Secretary for Environment, who have both agreed that the model will be available for viewing at the World Food Day celebration next week, which will give the opportunity for more people to come and interact and give information. And I think the Secretary is very much behind the concept of having people who have worked on the model be there with the model to explain how we got here and why this model is important. So that's the immediate next step. The other thing that's going to be done is that we have funding from the Embassy of the Federal Republic of Germany to create what is called a civil society agenda for climate change. And it's a project that was done by us in St. Lucia with the people of St. Lucia, and we'll be doing that again. It really translates what the national policy into action on the ground for you and me. When we read the National Climate Change Policy, we really don't know exactly, you know, what I'm supposed to do on a daily basis. Well, this is the answer. The people will give us what action needs to be taken on the ground to deal with the impacts of climate change.
So essentially, we're talking about providing a tool that people can use to instruct decision makers what really should happen. In other words, again, emphasizing giving people that voice in decision making. So we're talking about giving people a voice, and before we wrap up, I really want to hear from Kemba and Anthony about how, you know, each one of you is going to deal with that in your own way. So first of all, Kemba, your organization deals with reforestation. So tell us, how is this project going to impact people from your organization and your community?
Okay, for example, our community does, we have our own agenda. The community members will know a lot of things that a lot of outsiders would not know, as we label the technocrats, right? Somebody might have a way to say, because we deal with tree planting and we also deal with outing forest fires, right? So a lot of people may have theories on outing forest fires, but only the community members would know things like the wind direction, the slope, where it have water tributaries coming up, where they have dried up. So these kind of information would only come from the people who use the land and walk it every day. And as my colleague here mentioned, river changes. You might get more, you might get less. And only people who have access and who use the land and who look for these things and who could actually identify them and compare them to the past would know this. And the only way you'll find this is in the community. So that's why it's really important to have the community approach to development or forestry, include them in the process.
So Kemba, coming from Trinidad, going to Anthony from Barbados, and we're talking about climate change. So immediately, the Caribbean Institute of for Meteorology and Hydrology, clearly we can see the link, but again, we're emphasizing giving people a voice. How do you see that working in Barbados?
Well, the whole idea of this participatory project, I think I would have to first sell the idea to my bosses. Just driving around, there are serious impacts of climate change. And I think it would be a good way to have that documented. First of all, in order for the appropriate action to be taken. And I think I speak subject to correction, but I believe one of the reasons that I'm here is that to try to sell the idea to Barbados and to have them involved in this participatory project.
Okay. Now, before we wrap up, I want to give Giacomo any last words about the project and its impact, not only in the Caribbean region, but wherever the Center for Technology, right, wherever the CTA is based. Any last words?
Well, I must say that next week CTA is going to be present at the Caribbean Week of Agriculture. There is a session on climate change adaptation, and we are going to present what has been done in the Pacific, and we are definitely going to mention what has happened here in Tobago. So Tobago will be in the news also in that occasion. And for me, it's very exciting because I believe in this method. I believe in local knowledge, and I think that, and I believe in the people of the Caribbean, that they will make the best use of this tool in the future. And on the top of that, we are planning to facilitate some training on Web2 and social media, which is going to take place in the coming months. So that will add to the. This will add channels for the people to communicate their voices.
Thank you so much. And of course, wrapping up with Neela, the person based here in Tobago and most likely to see the project move forward into the different phases. Neela, what's your last words before we wrap up on the project?
Well, on behalf of all of us who worked to implement the project, I'd like to thank the people at Tobago for coming out and giving us this opportunity to pilot this exercise in Tobago. Specifically, the 106 people who came out initially, they were told for 2 days, and those who have come back again and again to ensure the information is here. Special thanks to the students from the secondary schools who came out, Scarborough Secondary, Signal Hill, UWE Open Campus. Thank you for the enthusiasm and the excitement that they ignited here that allowed the additional 106 people to come out. And we look forward to seeing you all tomorrow at the handing over ceremony, where representatives of that grouping will present their issues to the secretary. So thank the people for Tobago for the support, and we look forward to continue working with us to deal with the impacts of climate change.
Just tell us where and what time. I know you said tomorrow the handing over is going to take place. Where is it going to take place, and what time is it going to begin?
So we are going to hand over symbolically the model at the Trinidad and Tobago Hospitality and Tourism Institute at 9 a.m. and we will be wrapped up by 11 a.m. So inviting all those who participated, those who want to come and see what this thing looks like, although I understand there was footage on TV, but we'll 3 times on Radio Tamarind talking about it. So come out and see what Tobago looks like. She is indeed very beautiful.
So thank you very much. That was Neela Bob Prescott talking about the 3D model of Tobago. And the title, She Becomes More Beautiful, Preserving the Essence for a Better Tomorrow. Neela, thank you so much. With her, Giacomo Rambaldi, and he representing the Center for Technical Agriculture and Rural Cooperation. Very important because they funded this project. Thank you so much. Kemba Jaramogi from Fondes Amon's Community Reforestation Project based in Trinidad. And of course, Anthony Moore from Barbados, the branch there for the Caribbean Institute for Meteorology and Hydrology. So thank you so much. And of course, I know that the public is so just very interested in this project and appreciated the information this morning. Back to you, Master Control.